I have such fond memories of growing up with my auntie in England on a Sunday night, sitting down with, and this is going to sound very British, but with a crumpet and a cup of tea.
Welcome to Story and Craft. Now, here's your host, Mark Preston.
All right, let's do this thing. How are you? It's Mark. Glad to have you back. Another episode, if you're new to the show, welcome. Thanks so much for hanging out. This is our very first Thursday episode, the very first week we are doing two episodes. Going to be a good one. Today, speaking with Tiffany Lonsdale. She is making a name for herself as an actor, been doing this for a little while now, like she's been in the Coen Brothers movie Hail Caesar, on the TV show Ascension from a few years back. A show I wish was still on TV. We'll talk about that. Also, Siren and the FX show Snowfall. She plays Parissa, an Iranian doctor who is, I don't want to give away too much here, but she's very talented. Also, a fellow Texan, which is always kind of cool. She grew up right down the street from me. Well, not right down the street. A little further away from where I grew up in Dallas, but she also grew up in England. Very cool story. We'll touch on that. Don't forget, storyandcraftpod.com is the website. Pop in, shoot me an email, little voicemail. Just check in. I love getting the emails. Thank you very much, by the way, for those that have been reaching out. Certainly appreciate it. Also, social media, you can check in, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of good stuff. And of course, please follow the show. Give a little review, Apple Podcasts. Give 5 or 10 or whatever the maximum amount of stars you can give. By all means, I love stars. You know, maybe it's from when I was a kid, you know, the poster board, you get the gold star for doing various tasks. So today, you know, I clean the kitchen, I walk the dog, and I did a podcast. So I get 3 stars. It's been that kind of day. Would love to introduce you right now to the lovely Tiffany Lonsdale, because it's Tiffany Lonsdale Day right here on Story and Craft. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, Mark. How are you doing?
Fantastic, actually. Just enjoying a nice warm spring day. Now, you're in LA, correct?
I am. Where are you?
I am in New Orleans. You spent some time in Dallas as well. Is that correct?
Yes. I grew up a bit in LA when I was a kid, then Dallas, where my family still lives. And
well, you sound like you're from Fort Worth. I'm just going to be...
DFW. That's right.
Where in Dallas did you grow up?
Like around the Park Cities area. So pretty central Dallas. And yeah, I went to elementary school there. And elementary school. And then I got sent off to boarding school in England.
I got you. Yeah, I grew up... I'm a Richardson kid, so...
Oh, yeah.
A little further north than you. Of course... Yeah, Park City is a real pretty area, most certainly. And now you live in LA now, so you've kind of been around.
I have.
Where do you ultimately call home? And somebody says, "Hey, where are you from?" Like, where do you feel like you have most of your roots located?
It's a great question, because sometimes I'll refer to a place like home. I'm going home to LA where I live, or I'm going home for the holidays to Texas, or I'm going back to London, which also feels like home. I would say right now it's LA, because I've lived here for so long and this is where I've anchored and built my roots. But my heart really has different homes in different cities, because I've spent so much time traveling and moving.
I was just speaking with Billy Magnuson, and we were talking about how he's just constantly, I think he's in his kind of mid late 30s roughly, but he's been moving around, he's shooting here and there, and he said, I think he's kind of looking for that home base vibe. And I think that's kind of one of the things that's such a blast about being an actor, is you get a chance to go places and meet people, do things, but you're kind of always somewhere. Have you had any filming locations you really enjoyed, like anywhere you've shot a film or a TV show that you're like, I really dig this area?
Yes, I was hoping you were going to ask that question leading up to all the places that I've traveled. I had a wonderful five and a half month stint in Vancouver in British Columbia shooting Siren. And I'd never been there before. I had so many friends who had visited over the years, either for fun, for, and, you know, acting work or non-acting work. And I had heard how beautiful it was. And it really wasn't until I got there that I understood what they meant. Vancouver is a beautiful city. British Columbia is spectacular.
I hear they everyone shoot a lot is up there.
Yes, they shoot a lot up there. I think there were something like 60 shows shooting when I was there. It was insane. I was bumping into people I knew from LA in Vancouver, not on the same show as me. It's a revolving door of executives and cast flying in from all over the world to shoot.
Oh, I've heard about it. I was listening to someone else's podcast not too long ago, and the person doing the interview was speaking, and they both are actors, and they were both reminiscing that the last time they saw each other, they were staying, I guess there's only a handful of hotels, but apparently it's like one hotel or one where a lot of people post up when they're shooting in Vancouver. So everybody kind of mixes, and it's kind of like a micro Hollywood, you know.
That's called the Sutton Place Hotel.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So you know it well.
Yes.
I did catch Ascension. I didn't realize it was a miniseries at first. I thought they were actually, I was like, where did the show go? I want to see more of it. You know, that was such a cool concept aesthetically. And just where did y'all shoot that one?
We shot Ascension in beautiful Montreal in Quebec on the other side of Canada. And that was my first trip to Canada ever. And what an introduction, because it's such a mix of old world and new because of the architecture. I think Montreal is, you know, and is one of the oldest cities in North America, along with Quebec City.
It's definitely one of the more French of the cities in Canada, you know.
That's it.
I hear the eating is very good up there, though, so I definitely want to. I mean, I go places where I can eat well.
I have to say, it is one of the best cities I've ever eaten in my life. It was unbelievable. Every restaurant, every pub, every bar, everywhere we went, it was very, very good.
And you're the first lady of Iranian descent I've had a chance to chat with. Have you ever had a chance to meet or spend time with my favorite Iranian actress who I really want to speak with, Shohreh Aghadashloo? Have you had a chance to meet her or spend time with her at all?
I did once, and it was early on in my career. I just moved to LA, and someone who I knew, who knew someone, knew her, and we shared a coffee together in that setting, and she was as fabulous as you can imagine. Such a striking human in so many ways, including her voice, which is very distinctive.
Oh, God, yeah. She's got a kind of a badass elegance. The expanse was, I think, really gave her a chance to shine in a really cool way. I enjoyed that. But
yes.
Like I said, you're the first lady of Iranian descent I've had a chance to speak with. So you beat
Hooray!
Her to the punch.
All right.
So Snowfall, it's FX, and I just caught an episode last night, and there are a couple episodes actually, and that's a series I didn't have a chance to really watch all the seasons, but I was trying to pinpoint. It's got a decidedly, I'm going to ballpark 1993-94-ish. Is that kind of where they place it roughly in time?
Earlier. Or? It's actually 80s, early to mid-80s.
My son said, well, she mentioned she's going to go page someone. I was like, yes. Pagers, you know. Well, I moved not too long ago, cleaned out my closet, found a pager. I had to show it to my kids. It was like they didn't know what to make of what a pager was, you know. And you probably never had a pager in life. On the show, you're a doctor, but am I right in saying that you went legit as a doctor, but you used to be doing nefarious things as, you know, working with some not so savory characters? Is that a good assessment?
Yes, both. So I am a trained doctor, surgeon in Tehran. When I meet Teddy in our history, which doesn't ever get seen on the show, and because of our history together, I leave Iran and move to LA. But at that time, there wasn't an opportunity for me to transfer my doctoral credits to America. So I end up working, changing bedpans in a hospital, completely overqualified for that job, but it was out of necessity after the Iranian Revolution, is how we built it together with the showrunner, Dave Andron, of the history. And so that's where you meet me as Parissa after Teddy is injured. I am in a qualified position to help him get back on his feet. But in terms of my character, I'm living a very unfulfilled life in LA because I'm not allowed to practice medicine.
Is it season finale, Snowfall?
Yes, season 5 finale.
Do you know if there's a season 6 or is that being talked about? Or?
Yes, it was officially announced, I believe, a week ago, 6th and final season.
Is that one we're going to be seeing you again?
I can't say anything either way.
That's okay. Hey, you can't say anything.
But
that
I
makes
look
it more
forward
fun.
To yes, exactly, and I'm thrilled. In all circumstances, I'm thrilled that there's been a season 6 announcement
on Ascension. You know, different character, and you can look over at on Siren. Kind of, what kind of character were you playing on that? You know, kind of contrast it with the other things you've done.
Certainly. On Ascension, I was the chief astronomer of the ship. So it was quite a different function and a different time period as well. We were we had set off in the 60s, and so our ship was still very much in that era because we were not in communication with Earth anymore. And
like I said, aesthetically, that was such a cool show in that regard.
Yes.
Because everything was a little bit of a throwback. And for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, come towards the end, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that was not expected.
You know? Yes, there's quite a twist.
I wanted to see that show with a few more seasons, you know, because like it kind of left me wanting more, but I digress.
Yes, it was really a beautiful set. The atrium, which you may remember, was an actual set built in a warehouse where there's a lift and there were stairs and all those rooms were built out. So when the camera would follow us into the room, it was, you know, the beautiful bar with the piano. It was truly such a treat to walk onto set every day. Everything was in 60s and our clothes were all from there because that was how we had left Earth, and the music was from there. Also, a lot of problems during that time also followed us on the ship. And then segueing to Siren, very, very different, modern day, set in Pacific Northwest. And that is, you know, about the legend which turned reality of the Mer people and the humans who lived there, and how as sirens, we did exist. And I played the villainous Tia, who on season 3 really shakes things up a bit and defends the ocean ultimately against everyone, against the Mer people and the humans and anything in between, because that was my vision for the future.
You're covering a lot of really interesting ground in terms of characters. I mean, going forward, though, I mean, is there something, did you have anything on your kind of bucket list that you're looking to do as you, you know, eventually, because we know Snowfall will be around season 6 now, whether you're on it or not, you know, there's going to
yes.
be something else down the line. What are you looking forward to?
I love period pieces. So, you know, watching Pride and Prejudice, and now Bridgerton, of course, is the big one that's been released. And I have such fond memories of growing up with my auntie in England on a Sunday night, sitting down with, and this is going to sound very British, but with a crumpet and a cup of tea, and watching whatever, you know, program was being released that day, and really enjoying it. And I would love to be on a period piece. I would also love to be in an action movie. I run the gamut because I love TV and film so much. I love stories, and I grew up watching everything. So I feel connected to many elements within storytelling. So I don't want to sound too greedy, but all of the above?
No, hey, you know, we all have to have our bucket list and our North Star, that thing that we want to do, you know. It's important, you know, it's our dreams, aspirations. Now, I do want to go a little origin story. Now, I know you're talking about your folks. Now, were they at all involved in the theater or anything artistic? Or are you kind of the breaking the mold, the one, you know, who's doing something different in the family?
That would be the latter. My parents were not in the arts, although they have a beautiful eye for artistic things. They love nature and photography and art and film and TV. So I definitely got my love of going to the cinema from both my parents, and also, you know, sitting in front of the telly and enjoying a show and talking about it. So I'm very lucky. I was introduced to that at a very young age, and I loved it, but I wouldn't say I had the vocabulary as a young child or as a teenager to articulate that I really would love to do this. I really thought acting was for someone else. I thought, wow, all these people do these amazing things and I get to enjoy it. So it took me a little while and a little confidence to find my way to it. And I took some classes when I'd moved back from London to Dallas, and I absolutely loved it, and I started booking.
Well, naturally, I have to ask you, whose classes did you take? I know Glenn Morshower is in Dallas. You know, one of my favorite people.
He's wonderful. And I was lucky enough to see him at, I think it was like a day workshop that he was hosting, and he was really so lovely. He's such a grounded human and, you know, has been working for years. This was a while back, but I really enjoyed, you know, as a young actor, getting to see this person who had traveled and worked for so long in that space. I started acting with Michelle Condre in Dallas, and she still teaches to this day, and she's wonderful. And I learned so much from her and from watching my classmates, and I loved it. It was on a Monday afternoon. I would go to her class, and it was so fun and invigorating and challenging. And I was booking commercials and industrials and voiceover. And then I branched out to Louisiana. So I would drive into Baton Rouge and New Orleans. I shot G.I. Joe Retaliation in New Orleans for a week. Okay. Yes. And Justice for Natalie in New Orleans. And picked up some hats in New Orleans randomly. I think it's Paul Myers, if I remember that, Myers Hat Shop.
Meyer the Hatter down on...
Meyer the Hatter, quarter. That's yeah. it. Yes, huh? I still have my hat there from there. And then eventually made the decision to move back to LA, but this time as an actor, as opposed to, you know, spending some of my childhood here.
Actually, let me kind of hit rewind just a moment. But as far as what your parents did, or what they do for a living, what's their vocation and background?
So my mom worked in PR for some years, and my dad right now he runs Hi Buddha Juice, giving a shout out to Buddha Juice in Dallas, Texas.
Buddha Juice. Now you have to enlighten me on what Buddha Juice is now.
It is 100% cold pressed organic juice, and very healthy and very, very delicious. I am absolutely biased. I also drink a lot of juice and I love it. And so my dad has been an entrepreneur my whole life, and my mom has been an extraordinary director of PR, and both people. They are people persons. And I've learned a lot from both of them about how to communicate and ask questions and watch how they've navigated the world. And, you know, neither of them were born in America. My mom was born in Iran. My father was born in England, and they both made their way here eventually. And
now, where in England is your father from?
From London.
Okay.
Born in London.
Yeah, my college roommate at the University of North Texas was a Geordie from Newcastle.
Oh,
one
yes.
One of the nicest guys you could ever meet, but put a few beers in him. I have zero idea what he was saying. He just was very vivacious, you know.
Yes.
But the accent was very... I've talked to people from London, like, we don't know what they're saying in Newcastle either, you know. Do you have any siblings, or are you the only child there?
I'm an only child from my parents, and then I have three half-brothers. My dad remarried, and I adore them, and it's been really fun to share some of the acting work with them. Not every, they can't see everything, but we try and make it exciting presenting it to them. Like, okay, you can see me for about 5 seconds of this shoot, and then we gotta, you know, cut out.
It's kind of like being a parent's the same thing, you know. You're like,
yes.
Okay, which I think the joke is now, like, I remember a movie from the 80s or maybe early 90s, and there I saw something on social media. They said, yeah, parents from my generation will be showing their kids something and, like, freak out, like, oh, crap, I forgot that was in this movie. You know, I totally forgot, like, some of it was kind of racy, you know.
Yes.
Are they still in Dallas, your father?
Yes, so my family's still in Texas, in Dallas, so I'll go back for holidays and see as many friends and family as I can. And I also have family in California and in London, so I'm in New York, so I am lucky enough to visit with people I know in a lot of places. It can be a little bit time consuming, like when I'm going to a city to try and catch up with people, especially obviously with COVID, some of whom I've not seen for quite some time. And I really look forward to seeing them.
Well, that's funny you bring that up. I mean, I'm asking everybody, what was it like shooting during COVID? What was it like on set? Was like, oh my God, this is just a pain in the butt, or was it a pretty easy flow for you?
Well, look, I'm feeling very grateful that I had a job at all, let alone a job, you know, during COVID at the end of the year and then again at the beginning of the year. So I want to make sure that I preface any of the annoyances with it just with that, because it's less of an annoyance. It was just more of it's a challenge. Because you are wearing a mask from the moment you get there on set into your trailer, getting hair and makeup done. Then if you're getting a shuttle somewhere, everyone's wearing a mask. And then you're rehearsing with a mask or a face shield on. And some of these scenes are intense and intimate. And it can be very challenging with a mask on and a face shield on to rehearse, even logistically.
I was just about to say rehearsal, you know. Yes. Like, especially the episode we saw last night where you were the fellow was shot and was on your floor and you're close quarters with him. It's how in the world can you rehearse that without it being, you know? Well, maybe that's good from acting perspective. Y'all don't see each other's facial expressions, so it's a nice surprise and real and in the moment when you finally see each other. Who knows?
But. Yes, absolutely. And I'll say I'm feeling very fortunate because we tested every 2 days essentially. So if I had to go in for a wardrobe fitting or going on set or an in-person table read, we would COVID test 2 days before that. So when you got on set, you did feel safe knowing that everyone had been tested. And obviously with all the zoning now, only so many people can be around you who have zone A passes, and that's to make sure that if someone does test positive, you can isolate them and not have to shut everyone down.
That's so funny. I brought this up in the last couple folks I've spoken with, but the new, I loved anything Judd Apatow puts out, but the Bubble on Netflix, have you had a chance to check it out yet?
No, but I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, it was so funny that there was a scene that there was, something was disrupted on set. I don't want to give anything away. But they're like, yeah, and it was the person who brought us the coffees. You know, it was like, because all the actors are going through this hullabaloo, but the people who were bringing the coffees apparently weren't held to the same standard of safety. So it was just kind of, you know, it's one of those things, 10, 15, 20 years from now, people will look back and go, wow, that was a thing back then, you know.
Yes.
Now, I have to ask, I mean, I got to go back to the Dallas thing for one moment, but top three places you like to eat there. I'm all about food. Whenever I go somewhere, it's like where I like to go grab a bite, but kind of curious whenever you go back, you're like, I got to hit this place.
Okay. There's a place called Spiral Diner, which is a vegan restaurant.
That's in the Bishop Arts District, right?
Yeah.
That's the, okay, I've been there. I have to
I
say
love
I'm
that.
Not a vegan. Well, you know, I wanted to love it more. I did. I tried. I went there with someone once and I was like, It's very tasty, don't get me wrong, but it was just, I think you have to be introduced and work your way into vegan before you can just dive in and go, oh, this is amazing, you know? So I need to give it another swing, though, you know?
Well, look, you're already part vegan if you're eating veggies, fruit, and grains. So, you know, don't worry too much about it. Just add a bit more veggie to your plate, and that will be a good start.
Oh, yeah, I tell the kids, I know I'm going to be at least vegetarian at some point. I love animals too much. I'm going that direction, but it's...
Great.
It's a slow incremental. You know, I'll probably land on pescatarian at some point in time. But so I obviously can't ask you about your favorite barbecue place in Texas because that would
no. I'm not the audience for that. I love Bell's Belse. That opened during the pandemic there, and they have a sister restaurant here in LA called Little Pine. And
really?
then I love Kalajanji's, which is it's a vegan vegetarian restaurant at a Hare Krishna temple, and
really?
They have
okay.
Honestly, it's one of the best, well, buffet when it could be a buffet, veggie, unbelievable food. I ate there for years, and every time I go back, I go, and it is absolutely some of the sort of cleanest, delicious tasting food.
Yeah, no, people who are not from or even go to Dallas are probably going, really, what's all this about? I mean, I'm kind of a food nerd. I always like to check in and find out where people, especially if they go to Dallas, you know, or when they come to New Orleans, they always have their places, and the places in New Orleans have been around a really long time, so everybody knows them. But yeah, whenever I go back home, I always hit, not too far from where you grew up, Campisi's is always kind of on Mockingbird Lane.
I've had a few pizzas there. Yep.
It's tradition, you know. And there is actually, there's a place in Greenville Avenue, which I'm sure you spent a little bit of time on, called Teppo, the best sushi outside of maybe Hawaii I think I've ever had anywhere. It's one of those places, only one chef, one, you know, just a handful of tables. It's so good.
Yes, I know it. And I'm lucky enough with Japanese cuisine, there are some beautiful roasted seasoned veggies and tempura and rice that I can eat, and I get to enjoy it too.
Going back to Snowfall, when you were presented the script of the opportunity, what did you think about the subject matter or the... You know, this is taking place, like I said, in the 80s. What did you think about it at the outset? Was this something you could, like, I'm going to take a bite out of this? Or was it kind of took a little bit of schooling up on the era? Or, you know, kind of how did you prepare for it?
Yes, I was familiar with the show. I'd not seen all of the episodes by far when I was presented with the audition. And... so I recognized it immediately. And when I read the character breakdown, you know, Parissa, Iranian, strong-willed, droll sense of humor, powerful, intelligent, I was immediately drawn into that. And then I read the sides, the audition material, and was immediately very clear about who she was. I felt very connected with the writing and the audition scenes. And so I watched the final episode of season 4, which was the last one available to watch on Hulu at that time in preparation. But I was actually getting on a flight the next day after I got the audition material. So I prepped on the plane behind my COVID mask and listening to Gugush, who is a huge Iranian singer, especially from 60s, 70s, 80s, so very time appropriate. And, you know, I was muttering to myself behind the mask on this plane and really enjoyed working on the audition material. It's a little spicy, it's fun, it's very droll, and I love all of those characteristics. And so then taped it and really felt... I'd had a lot of fun in the audition, not knowing, of course, what the future held. And so I was very happy to send it off to my reps, feeling like I'd had a lot of fun with it.
Now, the dialect, of course, you have to have an Iranian dialect. Were you just channeling your mother at that point in time, just trying to bring some of her dialect? Or were you just, was your ear already tuned to the, you know, how Iranians in America sound? Or were you like, okay, I'm going to be my mother in this thing?
Look, I was brought up around, you know, many Iranians who speak English. Mm. And so it's different than an Iranian who was born. That kind of dialect is different from someone who was born in Iran, who was brought up speaking Farsi first, then maybe moved to America when they were a child and then adapted to English. As Parissa, I was born and bred in Tehran and learned English there and then would speak English here, which is, again, also very different. So I had an advantage of thinking about my grandmother and my great aunts and how they spoke. And I really just channeled all of them to some extent and then my own interpretation of them.
Now, do you get any notes or critique from your family on the character at all?
I haven't yet, and I will not be asking for that. So, no, not yet.
Kind of going back, you were kind of wired up like this, this whole acting thing, this was on your mind. But was something else on your mind also, you know, I think, let's call it a fallback or something else that you were maybe planning on doing or before you fully committed to acting, what was kind of on your agenda career-wise?
I actually started with the fallback career first, funnily enough. I was in production for many years. I worked for MTV in London and I worked in live music events. I was in the talent and music department, and I love the logistical challenges that brought. My left side brain was challenged daily, and of course being at MTV was so much fun, and all the music that came through. And because I was in London, we worked with all of Europe and international talent.
Now, is MTV over there still like MTV used to be? I think it's like, I remember when I worked in radio years and years ago, it was like this thing, you had to watch MTV because MTV was the cultural touchstone for what was going to be happening, be it music, trends, slang, everything. You had to be dialed in MTV if you were trying to communicate with a contemporary audience. Is it still like that in Europe? Because it certainly kind of shifted. I don't even think there are videos anymore in music TV. What's it like in London?
Well, it's been a minute since I've worked there, but from what I can recall, it was still very much part of the zeitgeist. And it was such a joy to see in person how it was growing along with the technology that we know today and combining it. And we had an office at that time in Oxford Street, and now everything, I believe, is in Camden Town. And it was just very vibrant, very alive. And I loved working with the talent. And in production, there was never a dull moment, as you know, in this industry, whether it's, you know, music, live events, theater, voiceover, all of it. And I really enjoyed it, but there slowly came a point where I was questioning what I really wanted to do, and I would see the talent in front of the camera and feel a tug in my heart that maybe I wanted to do that. But when you're behind the camera, it's very hard to see and say anything like that because you're hired to do a certain job behind the camera, behind the scenes, backstage, whatever the case may be. And the people in front of the camera have worked very hard to get there. And there felt like a chasm. I just did not see myself getting there. So
Like they're just different tribes when you're on a set. There's a tribe that's on camera, a tribe that's the kind of the corporate tribe, if you will, floating about. Then you have the people doing the heavy lifting, all the PAs and all that, you know.
Absolutely.
Whenever I act in anything, I always just want to know what everybody does. I'm like curious about, how did you end up doing this thing, you know? And they all know each other because they're all moving from project to project to project, in terms of film, at least, I know. So you got that tug, that feeling like, okay, this is a thing for me. So that did that incrementally just like you just start kind of not necessarily losing interest for behind the camera, but were you just dumping a whole lot of energy into just like, how do I do this thing? Was that kind of your process?
it started to, the tug became more like a pull, and it got louder and stronger. And at that, and then I left London and decided to move back to the States to be closer to my family, because I'd been away for quite some time. And I then decided to quit everything I was doing and signed with an agent for voiceover in Dallas, Linda McAllister. And
I know that name.
Oh, she's wonderful. She was my first agent. Such a lovely human being.
That's had a little bit of a flashback. My mentor in voiceover, I'm going back like 30 years ago. He was with I think Campbell Agency. You know, so yes. a lot of these names are still around in the Dallas
still
area.
Still going, still going strong. You know, they really have grounded themselves in the Dallas, Texas markets and beyond for some of them, and they really. All of the agencies there, in my experience, were all so lovely and kind, whether I was ever signed with them or friends were, or, you know, you would meet them at events and so on and so forth. So I signed with Linda McAllister for voiceover initially, but in a market like Dallas and in Texas, at least at that time.
It's very fashion driven back then, wasn't it?
Oh, I mean, yes, very much. Very much. And also it's there aren't managers, so you have an agent who represents you for commercial and voiceover and theatrical and industrial. And so when I signed with Linda, you know, I got a headshot made, but that was really just to meet her and try and impress her. And she said, look, you've got a good look, and would you consider going up for commercials? I said, thank you, I would love that. And that's when something clicked in me that I needed to be proactive and trust my gut and my voice about what I wanted to do. So I went to Michelle Condrey's studio and I audited her class, and I, within the first 10 minutes, felt very connected to everything she was saying and the people in the class and the feeling. It is
a cool feeling when you kind of find your tribe, you know, those people that are equally doing this thing that makes no sense to really anybody else except for the people in the room, you know, and that tribe.
That's for sure.
But, you know, it's so funny. All the greats, I mean, everybody did commercial. And one of the things about Dallas or even Houston and even the big metropolitan areas, there's a lot of commercial, and it's a great way for actors to keep food on the table while they're chasing and building their thing that they want to do. You know,
it's excellent experience, and you get to see how sets are run, and you have to pay your dues. At least I did, and there were a lot of times that I was a background actor for many commercials, and that means schlepping many clothes options there and doing your hair and makeup and sitting in the Texas heat waiting for something to happen.
You're giving me some creative PTSD right now, because I'm like remembering those days. Yeah,
exactly.
But we were talking about things you're kind of wanting to do, going to like be it action movies and the things that, you know, that kind of inspire you. But when you're, let's say, a little bit older, you're not hanging out watching the BBC, you know, eating your crumpets and tea, which I'm fascinated by. That sounds wonderful. Something very civilized about it.
Yes.
But who are you watching that actors that were kind of North Stars for you when you were like, okay, now I know I want to do this thing. Okay, now that's who's doing it. That's who I love what they do. They inspire me. That actor is one I want to follow, who's inspiring me to do whatever it is I want to do. Who were some of those people for you?
Gosh, Mark, if we had another 10 days talking, I'm not sure I could get through all of the actors who have inspired me. Cate Blanchett comes to mind, someone who takes risks and has a lot of integrity and works very hard and mixes it up and has given back as well to her community and working in theater. And I have always really admired her work. There are so many. Dame Judi Dench, as someone who I've just grown up watching for you know, decades. You mentioned Shorey Akdashlu. She's phenomenal and someone I've also enjoyed really watching on The Expanse, but, you know, House of Sand and Fog and...
I still have yet to see that. And I don't know why. That's one that fell through the cracks. I don't know why. Thank you for reminding me. Now streaming, you can find anything all the time. You know,
it's so true. You can really tap in now and go back and enjoy it. There are so many people. I just watched Anatomy of a Scandal recently. That's just come out on Netflix, and I absolutely love Sienna Miller and Michelle Dockery, and there's just a lot of strength that came through the stories on that show, and that's, you know, on my mind now. And there's so many. There's no time to tell you all of them because there are.
Oh, you know, that's plenty good right there. You know, it's obvious. You say no more. You say Shorey Akdashlu. You know, you kind of need to say no more. You know, there are very few actors out there that no matter what they're in, I'm like, I'm going to go see that movie or that TV show. I don't even care what it's about. I'm going to watch it. And she's definitely one of them. But tell you what, as we kind of wrap up here, one of the things I love doing is I have my little my seven questions always kind of wrap up. But one of the first questions I love asking is, what's your favorite comfort food? That thing that it could be something that, you know, you're going to have in your trailer. You want to have near you no matter where you are. It's your comfort food, that thing you love. What would that be?
Bread. I love bread. I love it. I will eat it just as on its own. Or we can toast it, put some vegan butter on it. You can make a sandwich. You have it in your dip as your soup. You have it as croutons in a salad. I just give me a baguette and I'll be happy.
Or you can just make it your bowl for your soup. You know, just carve it out and just like it.
That's true. I love that. You're talking my language now. Yes.
Very good. Now, if you were to sit down three people, you're going to go have coffee and you're going to sit down with them alive, living or not, or regardless, you know, just anybody. Who would you love to sit down with? Three people, just have a great conversation for a few hours.
Oprah.
Oprah? Okay.
100% we'll sit down with Oprah, an amazing human and conversationalist, and has an insatiable zest for life and for learning new things, and I find that very interesting. I would love to sit down with Sarah Blakely of Spanx. I feel like she would be a really cool person to have a glass of wine with. And I would love to talk about her because she's just so vivid she seems like a very full human who loves life and lives it and works very hard. And number three, who's it going to be? Oh my gosh, I've got 70 names flying through my head right now. I love Viola Davis. I think she's fascinating and I love her as an actor and as a human, and she has a production company with her husband and she's a mom and she really roots for other people in the industry, and I love when she gets up on stage and talks, whether it's accepting an award or as a speaker, so articulate and present, and I would love to have a chat with her.
Very good, very good. Well, next question is, who was your celebrity crush when you were growing up?
Oh gosh, I'm getting all shy now. Okay, well, I had two. Brandon Lee from The Crow and Ethan Hawke.
I can respect that Ethan Hawke. Well. You know, I'm watching Moon Knight, I think, on the Marvel show.
Oh yes,
he is.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
In the character, he said that he modeled it after David Koresh.
Oh wow!
You know, Branch Davidian. And I was like, honestly one of my favorite characters he's done in a while, because it's not very much kind of in line with everything else he's done, which is always kind of fun to watch. You know, so very good, very good. Yeah, two of them. I like that. Now let's say you're gonna be. Going to an island. It can be an island you love. It's going to be paradise. You're going to love it. No internet, no telephones, no nothing. But you can bring one album and one DVD of a movie you love. What would that album and DVD be? You're going to be there for a year, let's say.
Mark, these are great questions, and it's tough because there are so many I love. Okay.
You're kind of like me. You ever go in a restaurant with a really big menu, and you just can't make a decision. I think you and I are like.
Yes, it's challenging for sure. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, Princess Bride comes to mind as a great film to watch, and I feel like it's uplifting as well. And I feel like if I'm going to be on an island, I don't know if I'm alone or what's happening there, but I feel like I could probably use a little, you know, upbeat film to keep me sane for a year. And then, ooh, an album. Oh my gosh. There are so many, Mark. My brain is going to Sarah McLachlan. I love Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, you know, I got a funny story about Sarah McLachlan. Actually, I was working on the radio in Dallas, and one lovely young lady I was working with, well, she was scheduled to have an interview on a Saturday with Sarah McLachlan. They're going to pre-record it and play it during the week. And, well, the radio personality became ill, called me up, I think, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like, can you come work my shift? And I was like, all right, cool. Everybody in that building knew I had a crush on Sarah McLachlan, you know, Building a Mystery and Sweet Surrender, or the whole thing, you know, the whole thing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And so I get this call on the hotline, sets off a strobe light, pick it up, you know, like, hello. It's like, hey, where's so-and-so? I was like, well, she's not here right now. It's me. It's odd on a hotline because everybody knows who's on the radio at that time. And she's like, well, this is Sarah McLachlan. I was like, oh, okay, haha, that's funny. She's like, no, really, Sarah McLachlan. I was like, oh, okay, whatever you say there, sport. She's like, why would I be fucking with you? It's like, but she said it in such a way where I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That accent, that Canadian thing, in case, like, I said this. Oh, it's like, and so I literally had to explain to Sarah McLachlan why it was that I didn't think it was her. And she was such a sport about it. She was as sweet as could be. And I'm like, everything she did, I was a big fan of. And nowadays, watching TV, she always makes me sad when commercials come on. So it's a whole different
thing. Oh my gosh, I'm weeping. I'm like, take my money, take it. Yes.
Yes, here comes my credit card again. But now, for moving on to the next question, if you were to define from the time you wake up to the time you fall asleep, how would you define the component parts of a perfect day for you?
Oh, I love this question. Getting up, and I'm walking with my dog, Hugo, who's my best friend.
What kind of dog?
And we go and get, he's a border terrier mix, but he's got everything in him. He's what's called a super mutt, which is, he's got lots of strains of dogs that you're not quite sure what they are, so they just lump it into
those
one.
Those are usually the best dogs. Well, I say that I have a golden retriever, so I'm kind of biased, but you know, mutts and golden retrievers.
He's kind of, I would describe him like Scrappy from Scooby-Doo, like puppy power, right? That's what he's like, and he's just the best. And I can't say Hugo's name without saying my cat Lulu, but she doesn't want to come for the walk. So Hugo and I go for a morning walk. We grab an oat milk latte. And we walk by the beach.
Wait, so you're close to the beach in LA? I am very envious. Well, I did live in Encinitas down in North County, San Diego, which was kind of close to that vibe I was shooting for. But yeah, I'm very envious. You can walk on a beach every day.
Yes, it's very special. I'm very lucky, and I really love it. It's very healing by the beach. And then I would exercise, love a bit of movement, very important, get the brain going and feel good. And then some work. I love just sitting at my computer and checking emails and, you know, prepping for an interview like this, as an example, or working on an audition or on a show. And then I'd love lunch with my girlfriends and friends and have a good chat. And then in the afternoon, I think another walk with Hugo, of course, and I love a good phone chat with my English family. So that would sort of be in the morning as well, checking in with all my mates and friends there. And then I love cooking. So sitting, you know, having some friends around for a glass of wine and cooking a delicious, healthy vegan meal for them really brings me a lot of joy.
Very good. I like that. That's very good stuff. One of the other questions I had is, the last two, is if you weren't doing this for a living, what would you be doing?
I'd love to be a professional snowboarder, although I would be terrible at it. I would just love to do it. I mean, there's no way I'm doing all those flips and everything. Forget it. But I do love snowboarding and I love being on the snow. So in my mind, I'm a professional snowboarder, but just without any
As long
of the
as
risks.
You're having fun, that's all that matters. And the last question, if you had that DeLorean, you can go back. If you're 16 years old, you can go back and just, you got a couple minutes with yourself. Okay, you offer up a piece of advice to kind of set you even on a better track in life. What would that piece of advice be?
Oh, this is great. I would say really work to be honest with yourself about how you feel and what you want. And the more honest you can be with yourself, the more honest you can be in the world. And you don't have to try so hard. I feel like I really struggled to sort of prove myself, and it always led to me not feeling enough. So I would say really enjoy it, because being 16 is such an adventure, and 16 onwards, enjoy it, be curious, travel more, ask more questions. You can't learn unless you ask the questions.
I that's something I need to put in, just etch in stone. That's wonderful. You can't learn unless you ask questions. We'll tell it. Tiffany, thank you so much. I mean, I really appreciated the time with you here. Again, Snowfall, you know, season 5 wrapping up. Enjoyed it. I need to go back to episode 1, season 1. I'm going to start all the way through here. So a really intriguing show. I really dig it, and looking forward to whatever you're up to next, most certainly. And best of luck to you. Health, happiness, prosperity, most certainly. And look forward to seeing what you're up to next. And hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up down the line.
Mark, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Be well.
Tiffany Lonsdale. How charming is she, huh? A fellow Texan? Kinda. Always kinda cool to check in with somebody who's a fellow native Dallasite. Don't forget, you can check her out. FX's Snowfall. It is on right now. In fact, they just wrapped season 5. There will be a season 6. Will Tiffany be on? I don't know. She was playing coy, didn't tell me, but she's very talented. Looking forward to hearing more from her. Don't forget, please, by all means, head over the Webernets, the interwebs, whatever you want to call it. Go to storyandcraftpod.com. Storyandcraftpod.com. Would you like to shoot me a message or follow on social media? Hey, it's all there. I would love to hear from you. Again, I really do appreciate the messages I've gotten as we get rolling with 2 episodes per week. Don't forget Tuesdays, Thursdays, 2 episodes every week. I'm just going to climb inside your phone or whatever device you've got and just kind of hang out there until you press play. Well, that sounded awkward, didn't it? Anyhow, I hope you are having a killer week. And if you are listening Thursday or Friday, whatever, hey, man, have an amazing weekend. We'll be back next week. Really cool guest. Checking in next week, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson going to be on the show. Of course, depending on when you're listening to this, it might have already been released. So go check. And in the coming weeks, 2 episodes per week. Again, I would love to go down the short list of guests we've got, but it's going to be cool. Thank you again for stopping by. Next week, more fun, more mischief, and look forward to connecting with you. All right, have a great one. We'll talk to you next time on Story and Craft.
That's it for this episode of Story and Craft. Join Mark next week for more conversation right here on Story and Craft. Story and Craft is a presentation of Mark Preston Productions, LLC. Executive producer is Mark Preston. Associate producer is Zachary Holden. Please rate and review Story and Craft on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can subscribe to show updates and stay in the know. Just head to storyandcraftpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. I'm Emma Dillon. See you next time, and remember, keep telling your story. Come on.